If I had a title, which I put a title on each one of them, and sometimes my title I put is just something to give me reference when I try to go find it. The title today is Stir Up the Dead Bones. Stir Up the Dead Bones. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. And that's not our text. So I'm just a little verse I want to read to you and share with you first as we start here this morning. Proverbs 17:22 simply says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." We got a lot of people with broken spirits out there that their bones are dry. We need to have a merry heart. We need to be joyous. We need to be full of the glory of the Lord. Because that will bring strength. That will bring life to our bones. But if we got a broken spirit, we're all the time down and out. Our bones will dry up. Be like a bunch of walking skeletons. You know, it's coming up in a couple of weeks. Halloween's coming up, and we think about Halloween, and there's ghosts and goblins and skeletons and all of that stuff. You know what? The Bible talks about some of that stuff, but, you know, it talks a lot about bones in there, too. And bones are mentioned an awful lot of times in the Bible, a lot more times than I expected when I did a count as to how many times they were in there. But when I go to 2 Kings, though, 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Again, that's 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And it says, "And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." And Father, I ask over these next few moments of time, Father, that you would anoint me, Father, to deliver the word, Father, that you would give to me, Father, that it would touch hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, that's something, isn't it? The prophet has died. He's buried. And to people who were enemies of God and enemies of the children of Israel, they were glad to see him dead and buried. I'm sure the Moabites were glad to see him dead and buried. I mean, he can't do anything anymore. He's in the grave. He's a pile of bones at this point. And the Bible says the Moabites invaded the land, and here they're out here trying to bury somebody. They're out in the cemetery trying to bury somebody, and here comes the enemy, and they haven't got time to do anything else. So there's the sepulcher of Elisha, so they toss the body in there, basically. Put him in there. We've got to flee for our lives. The enemy's coming. But it says the moment that dead body touched the bones of the prophet, life came back into that body, and he stood up. He was alive again. Elisha, he was the prophet with the double portion. Remember, there was Elijah. Elijah did some great miracles through the power of God. He was a mighty prophet. But the day came, but it was time for Elijah's ministry to come to a close. And he had told Elisha, "If you see me when I go up, you're going to get a double portion of what I had." Boy, I'll tell you, the Bible tells us that Elisha didn't let Elijah out of his sight because Elijah kept telling Elisha, "Well, go here and do this, or go there and do that." And he says, "Uh-uh, man, I'm hanging on to you. You're not getting out of my sight because I want that double portion." And the time came that Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, and Elisha was there, and he saw what happened, and that double portion came down upon him, and he began to praise God. And the Scripture tells us he did double as to what Elijah did. There was a mighty move of God in the prophet Elisha. a lot of power. So much power that even years after his death, they threw somebody down into his tomb and that dried bones resurrected that man that was thrown in there. That's fantastic. And I know a lot of people say, well, hey, you know, that's just a fairy tale. So there are a lot of people that that's all they believe the Bible is. Just a fairy tale. Well, there's some good stories that were handed down from generation to generation. Blah, 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 you know. But you know what? If it's in here, I accept and I believe what the Word of God has to say. I may not always understand exactly how it happened. And I may not understand everything about it. But I'll tell you, if it's the Word of God, I believe it because I believe it's true. And if I didn't believe the Word of God is true, then I'd put it away and I'd go do something else. But I believe it's true. I believe that happened. That was no fairy tale that somebody told their children. Maybe to try to scare them or something like that or whatever. You know, we get this time of the year, we try to scare people, you know, and we tell all these ghost stories and stuff, and you can go to these haunted houses and get the witch scared out of you. Stuff like that, you know. And some people say, well, maybe they were just trying to put on a story here. But no, it's the truth. It's what happened. Elisha, the prophet with the double portion, his bones still had life in them. They still had power in them. They had the power of God in them. It was still being made manifest. So the dead man came back to life. But then there's Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10 of Ezekiel chapter 37. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Stop right there one minute. You throw a bunch of bodies out in the desert, and what's going to happen? They're going to become, in a short period of time, a bunch of dry bones out there. That's all it'll be. Because the animals, I know this sounds maybe a little gross, but the animals, the birds, whatever, they pick at the flesh, they eat that. The sun beats down, the body decays, there's nothing left but a bunch of bones. Hopeless bones. That's what it would seem to be. A bunch of bones out there. And he said unto me, verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, in the natural, the answer would be, nope. They're too far gone. I mean, it's just the skeleton out there now. It's dead. But Ezekiel, he wasn't going to say what the natural answer would have been. He says, Lord, you know. He says, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, God, whether or not these bones can live again. You have the power. He knew that God had the power to make those bones live again. So, Lord, you know. If you want them to live again, they'll live again. If you don't want them to live again, they won't. You know. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. When the word of the Lord is brought forth, it can make changes. It was going to make changes in those dry bones. And there are some places today that, sorry to say, but this congregation full of dry bones. You know? And they're not hearing the word of the Lord. Simple as that. That's why they're dry bones. reminded me, and I've told you this before, but a congregation in California, pastor, preached there for I forget how many years, 40, 50 years, he was the pastor. And there's a congregation of dry bones because the pastor wasn't saved either. Till he finally got saved one day. Got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did the dry bones do? They kicked him out. You know, they wanted to stay dry bones. But if we hear the word of the Lord, it can bring life even to dry bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This is a pretty tall order here. Got a bunch of bleached out bones out there, and Ezekiel's being told to prophesy to this bunch of dried out bones that God is going to bring life back into them. He's going to put sinew upon them. That's the muscle and stuff. He's going to put flesh upon them again, the skin upon them again. He's going to bring life into them, and they're going to be up again. They're going to be back to life again. And he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now, let's stop a minute here. Let's go back to our valley of bones that we were talking about out in the desert somewhere. Our group of dead bones out there. I told you, what happens. Something dies out there. The birds eat it. The animals eat it. And what happens to the bones? No, they don't always just stay in one place. They get scattered around. So you may have a leg bone here and an arm bone way over there and the skull somewhere else. But it says here, it says, and behold, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bones. So Joe's bones didn't come together with George's bones. Joe's bones came together with Joe's bones, and George's bones came together with George's bones. The right bones went right back to the right place and to the right skeleton to become again a living creature. Amen. Imagine that was a sight to see. Amen. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And when I beheld, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe breath upon these that slain, that thou may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Here you had a hopeless, helpless batch of scattered dry bones. But when the power of God came upon them, they became flesh and bone once again. Breath came upon them, and it says they became an exceeding great army. And the dead bones of the church today need to have that breath come upon them, need to have that life, that Spirit of God came upon them, so that they can be an exceeding great army.
Amen.
In God's service today. When the power of God comes, things begin to happen.
Amen.
When the power of God comes, things begin to happen. God begins to move. Things happen.
Yes, glory.
If we let the Spirit of God come upon us, things will begin to happen. Things will begin to change. You know what? It's easy to sit in church and become dried bones sometimes. Doesn't take a lot of work. Become dried bones in church. Sometimes we sit in church and we become dried bones and don't even realize it. But we need the power of God to breathe upon us once again, the Spirit of God to move in our lives and breathe life into these bones. and into this being. And let things begin to happen. I know we've said before the old saying that, you know, people who were worried about a move of God in their midst and the move of the Holy Spirit in their midst and talking about, oh, there's just too much wildfire. That's people doing stuff in the flesh. Okay? And that happens. I'll be the first to tell you it happens that there are people who do things in the flesh sometimes. When there's a move of God, there's other people going to be doing things in the flesh. Because they think they've got to, because otherwise people are going to think they're not spiritual. I told you about going to a friend of mine's church and he'd pray for people. It was ministry he had. He'd pray for people and they'd fall out in the power. But there'd other people go up there and, man, they'd be standing there in the line and he'd be over here. And, man, by the time he'd get here, they'd go all the way back. You know, they'd just fall out. But they weren't in the power because they turned around and got right back up. But they felt they had to do it or people were going to think they weren't spiritual. Well, let's quit wondering, worrying about whether or not people think we're spiritual, but be spiritual. Amen. Be concerned about whether we've really got the power of God moving in our life. And let God move in our life. Let the power of God move in us. And have the Spirit of God doing a work in our life. A little saying there about wildfire, there's always enough wet blankets to put it out anyway. And that'll happen. Here's what Jesus had to say to the church of His day. The church of Jesus' day? Well, it wasn't the church like we know the church today. Because the Christian church didn't exist then. But there was the synagogue. Jewish church. For lack of better terminology. Here's what He had to say to their leaders. Woe unto you, ye scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are likened unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. That's in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. He looked at them and he said, you're whitened sepulchres. You look pretty on the outside, but inside you're dead. Inside, you stink. You're full of hypocrisy. Now, I know there are some people who will say, well, hey, right here, this church, this is not the prettiest looking church in town. There's some pretty churches here in Columbia. Nice, beautiful buildings. But I'd rather be where we're at and have the power of God.
Amen.
We were talking the other day about something, and I can't remember who I was talking with even, but about churches and... And you know what really counts in a church? It's not how pretty the building is on the outside. It's not how pretty it is on the inside. It's not even how comfortable it is on the inside. It's the power of God in that church. It's the power of God moving in that church. The book that Mary wrote, To Guyana with Love, there's a picture in there on the cover. Well, it's actually the cover picture, and there's another picture inside. The cover picture is these young ladies looking in through this window at a church because it was too full. No more people could get in, so people were standing at the windows looking in. And I've always told people I call that one the chicken coop church because that's what I thought it was when we pulled up in front of it. I thought it was a chicken coop. One light bulb in the center of the room. Electric guitar with no amplifier. A microphone with no cover on the top here, just the element. I'm not talking about this windscreen. I'm talking about the metal mesh ball underneath. It wasn't there. But you know what? In the natural, they didn't have a lot going for them. But they had the power of God there. And I'll tell you, they got down to worship with God. They got down to business with God. And God moved in their lives. So it's not what you look like so much on the outside. It's what's on the inside. It's have you got the power of God on the inside? Or are you pretty on the outside but you're dead inside? Which is it? I'd rather be alive inside and not worry so much whether or not I'm pretty on the outside. You know? Bible tells us another story in It's about Lazarus, and it's in the book of John, chapter 11. In John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44, it says, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth!' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" The reason that he specifically had to say Lazarus instead of just come forth, it was everybody in the cemetery to come out. If he had just said, "Come forth!" It would have been a mass resurrection there. And it wasn't time for anything like that. It was time just for Lazarus to come forth. So he had to specify Lazarus, come forth. But let's back up a little bit. Because we back up in that same chapter, we find that Jesus got word that his friend Lazarus was sick unto death. They wanted him to come and pray for Lazarus. So what did Jesus do? Back up in the fifth verse it says, and this is a couple of days earlier from what we just read about there, it says, "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when he heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Boy, doesn't that sound like a true friend, a true man of God? "Well, Lazarus is sick. He's about to die, but I think I'm going to stay here a couple more days." That's not bad enough. They go do something else then. After that, he said to his disciples, "Let's go into Judea again." The disciples start to ask questions about it. Verse 11. And here's how he answers them. He says, "These things saith he, and after that he said unto them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep.'" He goes on down in verse 14, "And Jesus said unto them plainly," because they thought Lazarus was taking a nap. You know, so sometimes when you're sick, you sleep a lot. You know, that's all you want to do is sleep, and that's part of the body's natural way of helping heal itself. It shuts a lot of stuff down to allow its own healing mechanism to start to work in your body, and so you sleep. And they, "Well, it's good that he's taking a nice nap. You know, it's good that he's sleeping." Finally, Jesus puts it bluntly to him, "Look, he's dead." Now, let's back up a second here. Here's Jesus. He says he loves Lazarus. Lazarus is his friend. But he sure took his good time getting there, didn't he? He dilly-dallied for at least 4 days. You got word that somebody that was important in your life was about to die and they were sick. Would you say, "Well, I'll get around there when I can. When the fancy comes to me, I'll get over there." No, you'd head over there. You'd want to be there. So in the natural, it doesn't look too good for Jesus here. He's took his sweet time getting back there to do anything about Lazarus. And he gets there and finds that he's already buried. How'd Jesus know all along that he was already buried? So he gets there. Verse 39, it says, "And Jesus said, 'Take ye away the stone.' Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, 'Lord, by this time he stinketh.'" He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days, and the natural decay process has set in. That body's starting to decay, and he stinks by now. When you open that stone, it is going to stink. You know, just from driving down some of the roads around here, and especially in the summertime, a lot of little critters get out in the road and can't get out of the way of the car in time, and they get run over, and it doesn't take very long before it begins to get a little bit of an odor out there. It begins to stink because the decay process sets in. I don't remember the exact figure, but it doesn't take very long from the time that you die to your body begins to decay. It begins to go back to the dust that it was created from. And in the natural, Lazarus' body had started to decay. I mean, this wasn't just a case of somebody burying somebody that was just in a coma. You know, that used to happen. They'd bury people. They weren't really dead. They were just in a coma. And I know there's a lot of horror stories that read about of incidents that happened where people who were still alive got buried. In fact, that's why at one time there was a bell mounted above the grave and somebody put out there to watch it for a couple of days. And there was a string went down in the coffin and it was tied to that body down there. In case they came back, in case they were really not dead, they could ring that bell. You know, this wasn't a case like that. He was dead. Been there 4 days. But that didn't matter to Jesus. Because he could bring life back into that dead body. And he simply spoke the words, "Lazarus, come forth." Roll the stone away. And here comes Lazarus. Now, can you imagine? If I remember correctly, they're bound something like this, kind of like what you would see in a picture of a mummy. They wrapped him up. And really, you can't walk much like that. But he's called him out. So here's old Lazarus. Here. You know, take all that stuff off of him. He's probably hungry. He hadn't eaten for 4 days or more. Take him home. The power of God came upon him and brought back life into those dead bones. And we need the Spirit of God to come upon all of us and call us out of the tomb of our dead ways. The church has gotten into some dead ways. And some congregations, and I'm talking about denominations in particular, that once were vibrant with the power of God working in their midst are now full of dead men's bones. They've gotten into some dead ways. The church is buried in the tomb of religiosity. We've become religious. I've said it before, I say it again, I've gotten where I really dislike the term religion. Somebody asked me about my religion. I don't have religion. That's what I tell them. I don't have religion. A religion can be where you go out and worship that skunk that crossed your path the other day. That's religion. I have a relationship. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, King of the universe. I have a relationship there. And yeah, in the natural, you may want to call it religion, but I have a relationship. I'm a child of God now. I've accepted Him as my personal Savior. He dwells within me. His Spirit dwells in me. And we have that family relationship. I'm part of His family.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's relationship. You can have religion and wake up in hell. And there's a lot of people that have religion that's going to happen to them because that's all they had was religion. Because if you don't have that relationship with the Son of God, if you don't have that power of God moving in your life, then you're going to be lost. And I know a lot of people, they just want to hear a feel-good message and how nice they are and how good they are and all of this stuff. But I tell you, folks, I'd rather tell you that you were in trouble if you don't accept Jesus Christ and have you make it to heaven than to tell you how good you are and have you be lost. Because there's going to be a lot of good people end up in hell. It's going to be full of good people. I know the world only thinks it's really bad people, killers and stuff like that. That's the only people that are going to hell. No, there's going to be a lot of good people go to hell too because they didn't accept Jesus Christ. We need to have life brought back into our bones. The church, and I'm talking the church in general, needs to have life brought back into the bones of the church and experience that mighty army once again in that move of God. He wants it to happen.
Amen.
But we can sit there and we can still be dry bones, or we can sit there and let the breath of God come upon us through the Holy Spirit and have that power manifest in us once again. We need to have that move of God in our midst. That move of God that brings life back into our being. Been to a few churches in my day. Walked in and was dead. Dead. Some good people going there, but the church was dead. We need to have life. Life so abundant that when people walk through that door back there, they will know that there is a power of God that is dwelling here. That the Spirit of God inhabits this place. No, not just the metal building that we're in right here and this physical structure, but the people that come in, the temples of God that come into this place, they're inhabited by the Holy Spirit, and God is moving in their life. Because this building itself is never going to do anything. Not one person is ever going to get saved because of this building. Not one person is ever going to get saved because of the color of carpet we have on the floor. Not one person is ever going to get saved because of the type of sound system we have, or the piano that we have, or the organ that we have. Nobody's ever going to get saved because of that. They're going to get saved because of the temples of God that are dwelling in this place, that are coming into this place, that have the Spirit of God manifest in them, and the move of God that takes place. That's why people can get saved in chicken coops. And sometimes people don't get saved in ones that are plush. Because you have to have the Spirit of God there. We need a resurrection of the dry bones. To have the Spirit of God come upon us. Have that move of God take place in our lives. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your blessings. And I just pray, Father, that this word that is spoken today, Father, I pray, Father, that what I have said would touch lives, Father, wherever they may be. And, Father, that you'd help us to realize we need, Father, a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Father, we need to see the dry bones resurrected once again. Life come into our being. In Jesus' name, amen.